wasn't here. That was when I was on aid. So
Yeah.
We
And
will we'll move the minute review to next month's agenda.
okay.
With
We might
that,
be
we'll
in the
move to
board.
the Esperanza vision discussion, and more specifically, the review of the expansion report.
Oh, yeah. We had a good meeting, I think. We met with a group of people representing it looks like they split off Red Apple and created a company called Roundtable. And they
Is
are
this recent? That's current.
yes, it's been a recent change within, I think, maybe within the last year. And they are really, really interested in helping us. They do they'll find us the place, they'll find us the funding for us to build our own building instead of having someone else build it for us. They think that we've been open long enough to the point where we can get the money ourselves. And they will help us with the startup, with everything.
What was the basis or reason for their split off from Red Apple?
Because they are focusing primarily on helping new groups of people open charter schools, not just in Utah, but in other states as well.
Have we got any feedback from Brian about his views of that group and their capabilities?
Oh yeah. I talked to actually Jeff Biesinger, who stayed with Red Apple and did not leave with a group.
What does he have to
And
say about
he's the
it?
one that would help us. He will be helping us write the academic portion of the new plan. Jeff will.
Yeah, that one of the things they talked about in there is how they would interact as well with Red Apple,
With
that they
Red
would work
Apple.
in conjunction with
Yeah.
them.
That who's telling us that? The expansion group or Red
Yeah,
Apple?
no,
Roundtable.
the Roundtable
My
group.
question is, what is Red Apple? Do they have any bad blood or
No,
misgivings or?
not at all. They in fact they still work together with when they start a new school. Red Apple and Roundtable still come together and work together. Yeah.
Yeah, it sounded like, where Red Apple wouldn't something if Red Apple didn't help us or take care of it, that's where they would step in and help. But they'll even go all the way with preparing the construction, finding all of the people that we need for the
The
building and
funding.
the funding. And yeah, I mean, they'll help build that package and fill those gaps to help
And
us have a complete package.
one of the good things that I heard, I don't know if you caught that too, Becky, is that if we don't get the school, we don't have a loan. We don't have any expenditures.
Yeah, that was it
We
too.
don't pay for
Their
any of the work
services,
that they do.
they're like, Robert J. DeBry until that
That's
you'd
just
get your settlement. Just kidding.
that's shouldering a pretty big risk on their part.
Because but they don't go with anybody. They know that we would get funded. That's why they're asking us to work with them.
We'll put together a
They
comprehensive package.
they've been following us. They're the ones that helped us get the loan to purchase the building. It's the owner of Red Apple. The former owner of Red Apple is the one that left Red Apple to form Roundtable.
What's his name again?
Hardy,
Oh, yeah, there were two. That's I think it's the
his son.
son.
It's
Yeah.
his son
I can't remember his
and
name.
the dad, and I forget his name right now. His last
Okay.
name is
I
Hardy.
remember. Yeah.
Yeah, he
So
is the accountant.
they're a known quantity, really.
Yes, and we are a known entity for them because they are the ones that helped us work the entire process from the beginning before we building it, getting us help with the revolving loan, paying off the revolving loan, getting us the money to buy the building, everything. They're the ones that helped us do all of that stuff. And he knows about our academic, he mentioned our academic performance. He's following us.
That was one thing that was very, I mean, it was very complimentary of how much Esperanza has grown and has changed over the years, and from being included in that and part of it. It was good.
And so we continue down toward this path with them as our ally or colleague or advisors or whatever role we want to call it. Do we foresee that taking the next step? What would be the next step down that path?
So the next step is Jeff I'll be meeting with them, and maybe the committee,
Biesinger.
Yeah. The committee may choose to meet with him as well. He wanted to come to this meeting, but he was at another board meeting. He says, I can meet with a committee and start putting some things together, and then meet with Roundtable and Red Apple at the same time to present a plan of what we want to do. The extending to eighth grade here and opening the new building in Ogden would be the next step, just to put the plan on paper.
They prepare an expansion plan?
Yes, that's right.
They haven't started that yet?
No, nothing on paper yet. Okay. Just what we've told them.
And would Biesinger and the Red Apple likewise work on a contingency, sort of free, if not no charge, unless it comes to fruition?
I think so, but we need to ask them directly, because the new owner,
of
Red Apple.
I didn't know they had a new owner.
They do, because Hardy left to form Round Table.
The owner? It was.
He was the owner. Hardy
was the sole owner.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't understand that.
Yeah, he was the sole owner, and sold it to one of the accountants in Red Apple.
Okay.
And so we need to approach him to see if he's going to also do a contingency fee, or if there's a cost. From what I heard is that they're now charging about $7,000 to put the plan together up front.
Not non-contingency.
That's correct.
Yeah, I didn't get the impression that this was a free service from Red Apple.
From Red Apple, I don't think so.
Yeah. And then there was one.
What is it that Red Apple would do that the split off group can't do?
They would help us more with the financials that they don't have access to. So they would help us put together all of our financial summary and how we've grown, and all the stuff that's like here in this report.
In the plan.
Go into the plan.
And the other group, what's it called again?
Roundtable.
Roundtable is not equipped to do that.
They can, but I don't. That's not included in the contingency plan.
Oh, they can for a fee.
I'm sure that they can. That's they can.
I
think they're going to help fill in all the other gaps and requirements that are in the application. To describe square footage that we need and help calculate those types of things that we would need.
How many people? How many students? We're needed in the community in Ogden, the study of the community and those kinds of things. That's Red Apple's thing.
Okay.
So the next step is for the committee to meet with Red Apple, Biesinger, to talk about the contingency fee, to be exact. And then after that, we can come back to the board in April and say, here, this is the cost upfront. Do we move forward? We have time. November is the deadline to submit the application. And then February, at the beginning of February of next year, a year from now, the state charter board would approve us or not.
Is there a strategic advantage to submitting that before the deadline?
I don't know. We can ask Jeff.
Well, if we have a complete package, we can submit before the deadline, but they're not going to let us resubmit with changes. It's like a one-time thing, so we may as well get a complete package.
Yeah, I would suggest submitting an incomplete package, but is there any advantage to getting on the board's radar screen earlier rather than later?
I think we should. I think we should at least let them know, because I can tell you that
that's what he asked. Is there an intent to apply?
Yeah.
And the answer was no, is what she said. But there's the first phase, which is the July, which is if you're not planning on expanding out, you're just trying to expand
numbers.
And then the second phase would be those in November. Mm-hmm. And when you put in your application, we could meet with them again, I think, the school board people again. But the intent is you are doing your intent to apply and applying at the same time. Mm-hmm. It's just there's a due date. This is what it is. Even if you put in an intent to apply and you don't, they just want the package.
Last go around, my recollection, although it's been a long time, we submitted a package, and then we went in and tried to present the package.
Mm-hmm. That's going to happen again.
Yeah, that will happen again.
Yes, in January, last of January, early February, we have to go in and sell it.
Sort of just compile all the applications that come in, mm-hmm. and then schedule the presentations at the end, at all at the kind of the same time?
Yeah, like a week before the decision is made.
Okay, so I'm gathering there's probably not a real huge advantage to submitting an application in hopes of getting an early presentation before everybody else.
I don't think so.
I can tell you they know, the state charter board knows about us and who we are.
Well, that's it.
Yeah, they came and talked to us.
I mean, there are some other capable programs as well, I presume.
But none that are serving the community we're serving successfully.
Okay. Well, that's an awesome report. Thanks, guys. Thank you for doing that. Well, who's been involved with that besides the two of you?
He was there and she was there. A parent.
Was there as well.
There was a parent. Cavoni. Angelica Campas was, she's a parent, works part-time here, but she's a parent with several kids, four or five kids in the school.
Yeah, that's what she got.
Wow.
And by the time the school opens,
the kids would transition to junior high. That was the other thing
they talked about in the meeting too, is like, okay, we get this submitted in November, we'll have the school built in 2025. We're like, no, it's not going to come. 2024.
We thought we would get it by 2024. And he says, it's not like it used to be. Now you have to order tile and it comes 3 or 4 months later. And so it's not going to happen in 8 months like we did the last time. It's going to wait a year. 2025, opening in 2025 is the best we can hope for.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
So we'll meet as a committee with Jeff and then come back in April and report again.
If you need, just so you know, if with enough notice, if it's that they only can meet like during the day or something, just give me enough notice. And if anything, Mondays are like the best days. I'll just say that.
Okay, thank you very much. Next item, the retreat details. We don't have a full group here, but quick report on places, location, times, places.
I've only looked at the one in Ogden. They're very similar as far as the cost, very similar to the Park City. If we wanted to, we could go to Park City, Heber, or Ogden, and it's right around $3,000 for our meeting. So there's not much difference.
I wonder if we could do a field trip to get ourselves better acquainted with Ogden, and some of us that don't know it as well. I like the Ogden idea.
I think here's what we can do, because Jeff was asking for, if we were really serious, that we do a field trip to 2 or 3 locations that might be available in Ogden, so that you can kind of see what we're talking about. There is one that people are trying to push onto us, and we definitely won't take it. It's in North Ogden, and it's in the middle of nowhere. It's a commercial. What do they call that area? Is it commercial?
Industrial.
Industrial. It's by the freeway.
Gigantic building.
Yes. And there's an empty school there. And they spend $7 million building it, similar to this. And they will let it go for $3 million, I think they said. And they're like, you got to take it. You need to a school in Ogden. And I went and looked at it. And I'm like, it's too far away from the city. It's in an industrial place that it's too far. So I think we need to.
I really like the Ogden idea.
Yeah. I do too. But anyway, so I can ask Jeff to get, then we'll maybe 2 or 3 areas.
Okay.
And then
we'll do
that. Okay.
Please do.
Excellent. I will do that.
Anything else on that retreat issue?
No, I think we're good. If we are serious.
Father's Day weekend, did you know that?
Yes. We've done it once before.
Once before on Father's Day. Yeah, the weekend of the retreat, that Sunday morning is Father's Day, the 17th.
But, you know, most people don't stay there Sunday. The reason we book Sunday night or Saturday night is because we can work late on Saturday. Because if not, we have to leave by 11 o'clock. Yeah, so those the people that want to stay. And then everyone else can leave Saturday.
I think that'll be okay.
Yeah, that's why we do it.
Okay, can we go to the principal report?
Absolutely. I'm just sending an email to Jeff.
While you're doing that.
Natalie,
I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay.
Natalie, anything to report?
Oh, yeah. PTO? My apology. Oh, my gosh. It's her birthday. And she came to join us just for the meeting. And she asked me to put her at the beginning.
You can go.
I apologize. Go ahead.
No, it's totally okay. My birthday was yesterday.
Yes. She's celebrating.
Birthday commitments happening. Just got a text from my sister. Really, the only thing to report is we started our fundraiser with chocolates. We are completely out of boxes because we're very excited. But that being said, we did only order 250, so we'll see how it goes. We have a stack of about now. As of today, it's a little over 50 students waiting for either a second, third, and even a fourth box. So right now we have them all in technically our little waiting list, waiting for boxes to come back that are half sold or not sold at all. And then we'll offer these students that are in this stack an opportunity to try to resell those boxes that weren't. It takes a minute for those to come back, but the plan is to send an email tomorrow because really we only started this a week ago. And so, but the prizes that we're offering are a little bit better, I would say, than past years, only because we do have such a limited amount of boxes. So some kids were really like, I'm going to sell the one box because I want that stuffed animal snake. And then that's it. That's all they want to do. So it's exciting to see the kids excited, but some are really excited and wanting these like upper prizes. So hopefully they'll get an opportunity for that. But yeah, that's about it really. We don't really have much else to report as far as PTO goes.
What's our next big sort of school, like after school celebration?
We have spring festival coming up. Melanie Broadhead is usually the one that is in charge of that. And that will be held here and in grade levels. So basically it's just an opportunity for each class to kind of come together and do some type of presentation, performance, whatever you want to call it, but just an opportunity for each class to get together and like practice something of some kind. So
it's a whole week. Yeah. It's a full week of celebration. So we will have the festival on Monday for kinder and first and it's the 5th of May, the week of the 5th of May. And then Tuesday we have second and third. Wednesday we have fourth and fifth. Thursday we have sixth grade. And then the after-school specials, mariachi choir and folkloric bands.
Yeah.
Folklorico.
It's like a dancing group. Like,
Mexican dancing group, folkloric dancing.
Folklore. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. That's the first week in May.
Okay.
Yeah, we did try to go to Granger again, but they were packed with things and they couldn't work with us. But we are now scheduling for next year in the fall in the Christmas festival and then the spring festival in 2024.
Yeah, we want to go back to special. Having the entire community coming.
Yeah.
And watching like the whole entire presentation.
Yeah, that was in blogs.
Yeah.
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 Definitely the parents gave a lot of feedback this last time and were like, you're right.
They want us to have everyone in one place, but we get 1,500 people in there. And so it's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And it's a lot, it's very stressful for people putting it together and performing and all that kind of stuff. So that's what the parents want. So that's what we'll do next year.
Awesome.
Yes.
Terrific. Well, thank you very much, Natalie.
Thank you.
And happy post after the PAC birthday.
Thank you. Well,
she celebrates the week and then the month.
She gets a year older every week.
Younger, actually.
She probably does. Okay, just briefly, I don't have a lot of things. The enrollment, as you saw, is way above where it needs to be. We're at 535. we're actually close to the extreme maximum, which is 540. And we don't want to get there because after that, they start charging $8. Remember when we used to plan to drop your child and other people's kids because we were close to that
and then,
maximum?
Put them back on.
Yeah, put them back on later on when kids left. We don't want to get there.
At first, we were really worried that, remember, the first year, we were really worried that kids were going to be absent the day that we had to record that. That number, and we were paranoid, and it was just the opposite.
Yeah, no, we have plenty of kids. If one leaves, it takes us 24 hours to replace them. I mean, we can definitely do that. We did have a mental health parent training night. What do we call it? Healthy minds.
Yeah, cultivating healthy minds.
Cultivating healthy minds. And even though we had a storm, or it looked a lot worse than it was. Was it last night?
It was
yeah.
On the 8th. It was my birthday.
It was your birthday.
Was a weird storm. It was only an hour, but it was like
it came down though.
For a minute.
Yeah, and it discouraged people from coming. But we did get 20 families.
Yeah.
We got.
By the time it was time for the event, it was like dying down.
Yeah.
It worked out.
I was worried because I stayed to welcome the group and all that kind of stuff. And I thought when I went out and it was a storm coming, and I'm like, oh no, but it didn't last.
Who presented at the meeting?
We had teachers and we had guests.
Presenters?
Yes.
Like a colleague for the suicide prevention. We had another for substance abuse. It's a person who works for the UFI. She knows a lot about how this happening between the youth. Both of them were bilinguals, and then we have another presenter where two of the teachers was a bullying and this safety online.
Where did we find these people?
I looked for them. I wanted to contact them.
I was going to say there is a group because Cooper's middle school is having the same group come in and do one for the parents because they're doing one on desensitization in our young people because they're concerned about some of the language and I guess topics of violence or things that are shared amongst these middle school kids that they feel like the kids are desensitized to it, and so they want to bring the parents in but they're having students and parents to attend.
We had the people that were there were really, really excited to be there and learning with a couple of our teachers, like he said, Mr. Richardson and Perez. Maestra Perez presented.
Yeah. Well, they got the presentations, and I got a backup presentation in case
somebody didn't show up.
Like, I have my free days, so.
Yeah.
It was great.
We have a committee that puts these trainings together. We had the literacy night, which brought in 200 people, right?
Uh-huh.
200. This is a smaller group. The other thing is talking about mental issues, suicide, bullying, and those kinds of things. So, a lot of times in the community, in the Hispanic community, you don't talk about mental issues.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
more so than the non.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It is a no no. You just, there are no.
Even in the women crowd?
In the family crowd, I think is
it's not just a man thing, it's the whole family.
I would say that much more reserved about talking those things than in non-Hispanic cultures. Absolutely. I'll give you a perfect example. I was in a university class at the University of Utah, and the professor says, you don't have to disclose if you don't want to, but how many of you have a therapist? And every white member of the class had a therapist. None of the Hispanic people had at least said they had.
It's been a big push for people of color. It's very similar in the Black community.
Yeah.
And it's just something, And they're doing a lot to, show and put out there with probably with the consulate too, probably putting out their therapists and therapists that you can see that are, Hispanic or the same thing with the their people are hiring. Hispanic and Black therapists, social workers at higher rates because to meet the needs in the community, because it is very much.
That's super interesting. And in your crowd, when we had our event, Was there an underrepresentation on dads?
What were you? What did you see? Mostly.
You can see that was one of the presentations. This is one, two, dads.
You know, there are more women. There are more women.
We were 70% were
women.
And there were the families, like the for those 20, they had like an eight couples. So almost 50%, like.
Yeah. Yeah, that not a lot, but we are hopefully making inroads, letting people know that, you know, suicide is a real problem. Bullying is a real problem. All of the anxiety is the other thing that we talk about. Mm-hmm. And so we'll continue to do this. This is a requirement by the state.
I would say keep having those conversations. Cooper, at the beginning of the school year, had a friend commit suicide that was in ninth grade. After he left eighth grade, and it really, really affected Cooper. And then just right after Christmas break, one of his good friends reached out to him, same thing, suicidal. And so Cooper's been out of therapy, and we actually got him back in and then working with the counselor at school, because he's had a little post-traumatic stress issues with it, and it's caused him some, he's a pretty sensitive kid when it comes to that kind of stuff. And it's voice, a lot with voice.
Last June, we had an older sibling, not one of our students, but their older sibling who committed suicide.
Yeah,
and we went to an older sibling of one of our students.
Yeah, it was someone from Cooper's class, wasn't it?
I believe so.
Yeah, that sixth grade class.
Yeah.
It was their sibling.
Their sibling. And I think that's, we need to keep pushing for people to join. And you can tell they're a little bit hesitant when I gave the introduction of the welcoming. I could tell the people were kind of quiet, that they, you know, it's not common for people to accept that there are those problems in the families.
I grew up in a household of seven boys. My folks have seven boys. And my wife had five girls in her household. And it's just one little anecdote, but dramatically different sort of comfort level with mental health things that she and I brought to our marriage. Her mom, they took all the kids to sort of a psychology checkup every year, just like they went to go get their physical checkup.
Yeah.
My household.
You don't talk about that.
You don't even go to the doctor.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not really a macho thing. It's like that's for those other sick people.
Yeah.
It's just like a bad, 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 bad thing.
Yeah.
And
it's a generational thing too. I think that mindset's changing. Yeah. And I think that's what they're.
Oh, yeah. My dad.
My mom took great pride in that she was the only person, that only one of her six siblings that did not have mental health issues. Little did she know we were all on the background going. But she started having them this last year, dealing with horrible, crippling anxiety.
Here's another picture as I think you were handing out.
Oh, yeah. There was a bottle. That's great. There was a ticket. They need to fill out this. I mean, they had a ticket with the number.
With a survey.
They had to get him to do the survey.
I think he needs to have a survey in order to the return the survey.
And get the ticket. You return the survey, here's the ticket.
Good idea.
Yeah.
That we then we raffle some books.
Yeah, we had books and we had gift cards for people to get.
Not to belabor this, but do you have a sense that we have, is our bullying rate at this school rival other non-Hispanic schools, or we a little below or a little better?
I believe that we're better. We do have bullying, just like every other school, but I believe that we do preventative activities. We have a no bully program where we bring kids together. If we hear that there are kids that are bullying other kids, we bring them together and even assign them roles. You are the bully, the bullied, and you're the bully and those kinds of things and do some role playing.
And define what bullying is. Oh, he was bullying me.
Yeah. Let's talk about
it. And what did you do before? Oh, I kicked him with the ball. So you're playing. How often? This is the first time. Okay, so.
Yeah.
Okay. It was a misunderstanding. It was a
we give the definition.
But not the.
Yeah.
But the first reaction, oh,
Yeah. We provide the definition of bullying, and then I'll be, oh, that was not bullying. We're just messing around. Or he was being mean. Being mean is not bullying. It's being mean. You know?
When Cooper was little, he would tell me, you're bullying me. I'm not bullying you.
Yeah.
You're bullying me.
The next item is the re-enrollment. We are full with kinder. We always enroll 75, and then later on we can add more kids if we need to. And we just sent the re-enrollment online instructions. Mm-hmm. It hasn't been a week. I think it's been the last week or so.
Mm-hmm.
And we have 119 parents that have already done the process of re-enrollment. They just have to go in and update some things and that kind of stuff. We will send another email on Friday, tomorrow, and hopefully that will number go up. It usually takes a month to get 90% of the kids re-enrolled. And then we start making phone calls to the 10% that haven't to find out why they haven't. And then we'll find out how many kids are not coming back if we have a number. We usually have 20, 25 kids that don't come back because they moved, they're moving, or whatever the case may be. And so we're on target.
And I have heard of sometimes it's still like, oh, you just click here and there, like they're making a phone call, like, okay, what's reason? But
yeah,
could you guide me? And it's like, but previous years, yeah, they need to come here and they're professional paper, so that.
Yeah, and we have people that can help them online.
This will be the second year online, right?
Yes, yeah. Yes. So we'll go ahead and get more information on this and forward it to you. The expansion we already talked about. Textbooks, it's a mess. We're still haven't made a decision because now the state is going through a second round of accepting curriculums, materials. And so we will come back to you once we're ready to order, but we're not even close. This is the calendar. We have two regular meetings, and then we have the strategic planning meeting. And that was it.
That's insane.
You have something briefly. Yeah. On the testing, you asked us to bring some, you know, how the kids are doing testing,
mm-hmm,
the last time. So, okay.
Okay, so we used to take this test of this RISE. We had the information on how to get information. And, but we used to take like the intro, but the summative here at the end of the school year, and see what the first time we take the intro.
Mid-year.
Mid-year. So you can see here our results, but I want to show a little shorter. So it's here.
So just to back up just a quick second, in the past, we were taking different tests like iReady, Acadians, and some other tests that don't go along with the end of level test. So this year we said, let's do a RISE interim in the middle of the year to see how if we're on target to meet our goals. And this is what he's going to show you now.
Yeah. So these are results like
from last year, the summer.
From last year, you can see here achievement. And if you see previous years, a previous year, 2021, after the pandemic, I mean, when we tried to take testing, or was an LEA 20%, math 23%, and science was 28% the previous year. Last year, so last previous school year, it was our outcome 29. 37, 38. You can see the jump from 20 to 29, 23 to 37, and 20 to 38. So it was a big jump.
Now the challenge is to keep it going in that direction.
So our expect
the law is diminishing returns.
I'm telling
you. Skip this one. So this is our goal. So 10% of this one. So 29 plus 10%, that should be 31, 29. The 10% of 37 for math.
It should be at
40.7. And we didn't take the intro for science, but that will be our goal.
That's our goal.
Outcome that we finished like last month is this one. If we add our potential and the proficient students, these are expectations, 34%. Now, this testing is practically the whole year, but this is midterm, in the middle of the school year, but it covers everything. So it's like a little harder. So that way here we add our potential. So those who pass and those who are approaching to proficient. So these are potential, 34%. So we started with tutoring after school to help the students and all the interventions to reach this goal. So could be this one if everything works perfectly.
Yeah.
But the expectation is to get this one.
So when did you do the testing?
That's the other thing. We did it early. We did some in December.
I was going to say that's probably why the math is, because I always feel like first semester, at least for my kid anyway, it's like that first semester they're trying to remember everything they learned from the year before and forgot over the summer.
We might have taken the interim a little bit too early, but we wanted to know if we were headed in the right direction. And as you can see in language arts, we are headed in the right direction. So 32% should not be difficult for us to achieve in language arts. Now, in math, we're hoping, because in math, they make a bigger jump at the end of the school year because they cover the whole thing, because they have to cover what they're learning now to be able to do the rest of it, of the test.
Right.
Yeah, because right now they were tested on the entire curriculum that they have not covered yet. And so we're still hopeful. And just so you know, this is very close to the state average now, to the whites and Asians. We are way above the Hispanic average. The Hispanic average for language art is 24. The Hispanic average for language arts, and for math, it's 19% for Hispanics. Science is a little bit higher; it was 27%. So, if we look at where we're going, we are already 10 percentage points above the Hispanic average in the state. We're one of the highest performing schools for Hispanic students, but we don't want to stop there. We know we can do better.
Is that measure against, what do you mean, other Hispanic students?
Like in a
Hispanic students
secular
in the state.
In public school?
Mm-hmm.
There aren't other Hispanic charter schools.
Other than
DIA.
There's only one. Only DIA.
So who are we comparing
ourselves? We're comparing ourselves to the district school. With their Hispanic students.
When they take the test, they identify their...
Correct.
Correct. Okay.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah, that's who we're comparing ourselves to. All the Hispanic students everywhere.
So this is our school.
Are you just dropping?
You can just put it right here and I'll put it in.
I'm so sorry.
You're good. So you can look at... There is the... See, there's
Esperanza in 17, 18. So what these are provision 14, 31, 13. And then in 2018, we moved to 23, 32.
And then last year.
22. And then the pandemic hit. So we don't have data.
Everybody,
yeah.
We didn't have data.
And then that was after the
pandemic.
We
dropped in a couple of things, but.
And then we jump forward.
Now stay there and go down to the Hispanic. Look right there. Look at the average. It's 20%. I thought it was 19, but it's
37, 38. I think it's from a school.
That's our school. Now go back to the state. Back to the state.
Here's the state.
On the left at the top. Where the year is. Yeah, right there. That should be it right there.
Here?
Where's Esperanza? Go to Esperanza and click at the very top.
Scroll up.
Up.
All.
Okay, now go down to the state average for everyone. Now go down to the Hispanic average and notice 23.
There's your 19.
There's the 19 that I mentioned before.
Yeah.
And the 23. 23, 19, 23 is the average. We are at 37, 29, and 37.
I feel like we should. I like that we're being compared to the other schools, but they grade schools based off of their.
But we scores, have.
But we have head and shoulders over the Hispanic.
We are now head and shoulders above many schools in the grade. Yeah. We now go to the grades. You had the grades up at the beginning, right?
Yep.
Look at our grade.
Just looking at this stuff.
Look at the grade. Go to the bottom. Right there. Yep. We went from an F to a B in 9 years.
Yep. I saw that online. I was looking.
9 years?
Yeah. Oh, 8 years. 8 years. I'm sorry. This is our ninth.
I thought that happened fast. 8 years.
Didn't it? It did.
Isn't this the ninth year?
This is our ninth year. That's what I'm saying. In 8 years, we went from an F to a B.
I want to just point something. I used to work in I thought it was a very good school, Mary W. Jackson in Salt Lake School District.
What's it called?
Jackson Elementary.
Where is it?
Behind the Red Iguana in North Temple.
Yeah.
200 North.
Yeah.
I used to work there, and we had the bilingual program over there. But I thought that we were doing great. But when we compare, they are Apple in school.
Every student have an Apple device. Every teacher is I'm an Apple teacher certified.
And so we have all the technology. Our statistics or demographic was pretty similar. They were like 70-80% Hispanic.
We're 99. They're 78. And they are partners with the University of Utah. So the college professors are coming in to help with that teaching.
Close to downtown. There's like
what kind of college professors? What?
ECS
education.
ECS education, culture, and society.
But professors. It's exploring. I mean, I think it's more stable.
Our 20-year-old teachers are better than their University of Utah professors.
I agree. our first-year teachers are better than anyone, including our experienced teachers here.
That's just
they come with that energy.
Maybe you know that school is like 100 years old. I mean, it started from the late 1800s, 1900s. So there's a lot of transformations. And it's one of the oldest schools in this year. I mean, it's close to. And it's for me, was an opener. Like, I used to have my degree. I mean, my grades as a teacher was in the 40s or 50%. So I remember a faculty meeting and say, okay, we need to work to accomplish 30%. That's the goal for the teacher, for the district, for Title I schools. And I thought, okay, I made my goal already, but I had to help the rest of the teachers.
The faculty.
But I never saw this one until I have a conversation with my maestro Alejandro, and said, you know this? Like, I didn't know. So let's check our school. And then when we compare what this is a public school, fully funded, it's a Title I, but it's like with more
resources
than us. And the population is around the same, and it's 500
kids.
Yeah.
78% Latino. We're 99% Latino.
So, so
now I'm thinking of a different school. Jackson must be just north of North Temple.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's 200 North and 900 West.
900 West.
800 West.
What are some landmarks near there?
The Red Iguana.
Where is it from the Red Iguana?
The Red Iguana is North Temple and 800.
Oh, so just due north of Red Iguana.
Yeah. Okay. It's there's close to the State Park. I mean,
The Fair Park.
Yeah, the Fair Park. So, in the Rose.
Rose Park.
It's Jackson, close. But it's close to Rose Park. So yeah. So when I see that, I'm just happy to see that we're green.
Fantastic.
Yeah, we said
that's very interesting.
Yep.
We're
glad. So
this, in fact, the state, the charter school board is going to do recognition. They're behind on some things, but they called and said, we just want you to know that we are planning to do recognition for Esperanza because this is what we hope other charter schools that serve the Hispanic kids accomplish. You take the kids that are not doing well and you help them. And so they know, and they're going to do a recognition for us, and I'll invite you when they do. And I told them, this is what a dream realized looked like, because we knew that this was possible.
Right.
You can go back and look at our first score of 9% in mathematics, 10% in language arts, and 11% in science.
You know, the thing that gets me about our first year is those were students that we inherited from other schools. So to see that progress and those sixth graders, I just remember how devastated it was with the sixth graders.
Well, we didn't really appreciate that distinction that when those first numbers came out, that we'd inherited some, you know, some a certain condition.
And and I knew that we could do better. And so when I see those numbers now at 37, 38, but we're now way above the average for Hispanic students, this is what a Dream Realized looks like. And we're not doing it at the expense of cultural, social, emotional learning. You can still hear the music. You can still see the kids dancing. You can still see kids having fun. We're
9 and 10 and the kind of second grade.
They're like bilingual kids.
Sometimes you sacrifice the language for, you teach the language, so you sacrifice the academics because you want to be like bilingual.
You guys are going to be that academic school hidden behind a bilingual, biliterate.
Yeah. But here's the other thing that people tell me. Would you do better if you drop the Spanish? And my answer is no. We're doing better because of the Spanish. The Spanish helps kids learn. Does that make sense?
It also helps because it involves the entire community. That's the difference too, because the parents can be involved. And when they go to another school where maybe the parents don't speak English, then how can they be involved with the
team? Anyone. So this is the worst that could happen. If you can see the 34, 36, we don't do an interim for science, but we think we're on it'll be right around 35, 37. And I think once we get at the state average, I think as far as pushing farther, we could, but I think we still need to keep that music going, keep the dancing going. And I think we need to kind of stabilize the system once that we reach that, instead of pushing, because we're still pushing for more, better in that kind of stuff. But I think it comes a time when, okay, let's stabilize the system, hopefully expand our model to other places, and continue to have fun. Anything?
Awesome. Thank you. This will conclude we'll adjourn our board meeting for this evening, March 9th, 2023. Thanks to all. See you next time.
Thank you.
Thanks. 7:29. I didn't take any minutes yet, so don't thank me. It's